Bless, Lord, to bless our time. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can be here today. We pray that you'd bless our Sunday school hour. I pray that you'd help us to learn. And we thank you for the Green family and their faithfulness and for how you're using them. We pray that you'd bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. All right, it's great to be here this morning. So happy that we could come here and reconnect with you guys and meet some new people here. And we just are so grateful for you guys supporting us faithfully through your prayers and through your financial offerings. And we're here to show you where your offerings have been going. And we're excited to celebrate with you all together. That's why I got my red Chinese shirt on. When they wear red shirts, it's a time of celebration. Red means good fortune and happiness, and they always wear it during a time of celebration. So I saw some of you look at me a little strange walking in with this shirt on. It has a meaning to it, and I think this is a time as we connect together, reconnect together, that we can celebrate. Today, as we talk about and share with you what has been happening in Taiwan, that you guys can, if you're taking part in giving through your local church towards missions, this is something that you could be happy about. Paul told the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 that the offerings that they were giving to him were not for him to have some kind of financial gain, but for the gospel to be able to be spread around the world, and that fruit that is from that would be added to their account. And so what does that tell us? It tells me that God's keeping an account of what we do, right? He's keeping an account of where we put our money. And we see that Paul says that anybody that has been won to Christ through all of this work is not for me to be added to my account, but it is added to your account in heaven. And so this is a time where you can look and see. In the next service, you will have a video and you'll be able to see all the people that have been saved and baptized and added to the church there, that you can celebrate and praise God that you've had a great part in that, and those are people that you're going to be able to meet one day. And so we're going to sing a song in Chinese, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we do in Taiwan. We're going to have a time of dialogue, questions, answers, and things like that, because, I mean, we're here every about 5 years. So we won't have a lot of time here to get reconnected, so I want to be able to let you guys have some input here so we can really kind of get to know each other this morning. So my family's going to sing a song first. Why don't you come up here, and we'll sing a song that we love to sing with our brothers and sisters there in Taiwan, and then we'll try to sing it in English too. The English isn't as good. Our English isn't as good as our Chinese, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Ma'am? Okay. All right, this is our prayer card. If you haven't got one of our prayer cards, I hope that you'd get one before you leave today. And on the back, there's a what's called a QR code. You can use that to go right to our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, if you're not on Facebook, I'm sorry. You know, it doesn't matter. But if you're on Facebook, it's a good way to connect with us and follow what we're doing there in Taiwan and while we're on the road here in the States. We've been in the States for about 5 months. We're going to be in the States for another 4 months. We'll be back to go back to Taiwan in March. So we're doing a total of a 9-month furlough. And we've been all over the place. Our sending church is in Seattle, Washington. And we have a little minivan out there, and all six of us in a minivan traveling around the United States. So it's been quite the adventure so far. And we've tried to enjoy ourselves, but we've been, I put a lot of miles on the van. So something you can pray about for us as we continue our travels through the United States. So we're just grateful that we could be here this morning. And I just want to kind of open up some things to some questions here in a minute, but I just want to kind of fill you in on a little bit of the details of what we've been doing in Taiwan. We were working with my parents in the middle of the country, and they've just celebrated their 25th year there in Taiwan. And so we were working with them the first term and into our second term. And when they got back from furlough, God moved us down about 60 miles south from there in the oldest city, which you see up there, the oldest city in Tainan. And it's amazing how God worked all that out. A man and his wife that we discipled in the first church plant we were in, they moved their young family down there, and there was obviously no place for them to gather with other brothers and sisters in Christ just because there was nothing there. In Taiwan, less than 0.5% are Christians. 0.5% are Christians. So you could basically just close your eyes, point to the map, and I guarantee you that there will be a place there for you to be able to plant a church and to start something. And so Ryan and Vicky, they moved down there, and we were trying to go down there at least once a month to encourage them, have Bible study and prayer with them, and encourage them in the Lord, because there was nothing there for them as far as other brothers and sisters to meet with. And so the Lord laid a burden on his heart to try to start something down there. And he had met some other Christians. And so we were praying with them. And the Lord also burdened our heart to be able to go down there and start something. We didn't know how all that was going to work out, but God provided for us the finances to move down there. It's very expensive to move. I'm sure if you've moved, you know how expensive it is. But on top of that, it was going to be difficult for us to find a place for us to rent. Most people don't rent there. And the place that we were living in was actually owned by the sending agency that we're out of. They owned that apartment, and so they were giving it to us for very, very low cost. And we didn't know how the Lord was going to work it out, but we knew he wanted us down there. So we just kept praying and putting feet to our prayers, going down there, searching, praying, and the Lord gave us a place that was, normally that place would run about $1,000 U.S. a month for rent, and the landlord said that he would rent it to us for a little less than $400 U.S. rent, and so it was a blessing from the Lord. We were able to move down there. And so I want to kind of fill you in on the details of how all that got started, because it's pretty interesting. When we moved down there 2 years ago this past August, and our kids were going to the public schools there, the Taiwan schools there, and so we're trying to get moved down there before the beginning of September when school started. And we were able to move down there before that in the end of August, and Ryan and I, we had kind of a strategy that we were going to use, that we were going to kind of, for the first couple months, get our feet wet and try to get to know the people, the area, maybe pass out tracts and flyers and things like that. And then we would actually have a launch service, or our first open church service, I guess you could say, in November, the end of October, the beginning of November, and that was kind of what we were looking at. But they were coming over to our house Sunday morning, the first Sunday morning we were there. We moved in on Friday, so a couple days later, and we had boxes everywhere and stuff, you know, still. And lo and behold, a couple of ladies showed up and wanted to, they said, can we, we're Christians that have moved in the area, we can't find anything. We heard you had moved in here, can we have a church service with you? And we're like, sure, that would be great. And so we invited them in, and we had a service there that morning with Ryan and Vicky, our family, and these two ladies. Well, more people the next week had heard from word of mouth that we were there, and some of them out of curiosity, many of them unsaved, and then other people that these two ladies invited came the next Sunday, and the ball kind of started rolling, and by the end of the second month, we had 40 people inside of our little living room. And it was, I mean, we live on a tropical island, and we had no air conditioning because we couldn't afford to put air conditioning in at the time. So we had no air conditioning in our living room, and it was, you know, August, September, and it was hot, and it just stunk when because they don't wear deodorant or anything like that, like here. And so when they sweat, you could smell their sweat, and we'd have to air our house out after the services were over. Because it just, and people would be sitting on the floors, standing against the walls and things like that, and just there wanting to learn about God and wanting to know what this white guy was doing there. And so it was amazing. I look back at the time and I'm thinking, man, this is amazing how willing they were to be there, even though it seemed quite uncomfortable. And I was kind of worried about that, you know, oh, these people might not want to come again, but they kept showing up and kept coming. When people started getting saved, we were going through the book of Acts, trying to teach what the church, its purpose is and what it looked like, and how we can model ourselves after that. And we were in Acts chapter 2, talking about when the Holy Spirit came in there, and talking about speaking in tongues and how that is against what the Bible teaches and all of these things. Now, lo and behold, we had a couple ladies that were that had been influenced by the charismatic movement in Taiwan. And we were teaching, and our service time goes about 4 hours. And it's probably about 40 minutes of teaching by me, and then most of the time, about 2 hours is spent on questions, answers, and dialogue like that, because they have most of them have never seen a Bible, never heard about Jesus at all, and so we have a lot of time for them to ask questions, and Ryan and I will answer their questions and stuff. And so these ladies, after this time, I could tell that they had some kind of influence because of the questions they were asking about speaking in tongues and things like that. And so after the time, these two ladies looked at each other, because they're also teaching about baptism. They looked at each other and said, we need to be baptized, and we need to not speak in tongues anymore. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And we had a doctor, an ophthalmologist, later that week that gave his life to Jesus Christ, a very brilliant man, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ that week. And just so many things happening. And I just think about how in here in America that if we don't have our, like, 5 feet of space on our pew, and we don't have it air conditioned, or we don't have it warm enough, that we just won't show up. If the pew isn't padded or something like that, then most supposed Christians won't even show up to a church service. And these people here, it just touched my heart in a great way to see all these people didn't care about how hot it was in there and didn't care about not having a place to sit on a couch or something like that, that they still came and still wanted to hear about God. And it's just something that I always will remember about that time. But it was soon after that we began praying and asking the Lord where he would have us, because the people there started asking, well, should we build a whole thing that we can work in? And, well, no, it's not about building a temple or anything like that. We teach our people that we are the church. A church is not a building, and it's not as important where we meet, but that we do meet. We can meet outside for all God cares, And God would be pleased with us as long as we're meeting and we're edifying each other in the Lord. And so, I just said we need to pray and ask God as to where He would direct us. And later that week, I met the head of our local council, the community councilman, and he had tea with him a few times, and he was in charge of our whole community. And in our community, there was a activity center. I'd never been in it. I just seen it, and I could hear it was mainly used for the elderly to go there karaoke. People in Taiwan love to karaoke, and you could hear them out, you know, every night, just off-tune singing, having a good time, just belting it out, people clapping and stuff, and they were having a great time, and that's where they would have it at the activity center. And so I just asked him, the Lord just wanted me to ask him if about using that, and I said, do you use that on Sundays? I noticed it was normally locked up. He says, no, we never use it on Sundays. I told him what we were doing there, told him that we would be teaching about Jesus Christ, singing about Jesus Christ, that we'd be worshiping Jesus Christ, and if we could use that on Sundays. And he said, oh, that would be great. We would love for you to be able to use that. And I said, well, how much would it be for us to rent that out weekly? And he said, no charge. We don't want to charge you anything. And I said, wow, are you sure? He said, yeah, no. I said, we could pay. No, we don't want to pay. I don't want you to pay us anything. We'd love, for you to open that up to the community and have that. And so he took me over there that day, opened it up, and I looked inside, and there was like 250 folding chairs, 50 folding tables. There was a stage, a PA system, one of those overhead projectors with a screen. I mean, it had everything you could imagine that maybe a church gathering would want. And I was just in awe of what the Lord had done that day. And I called a lot of our brethren to come over there. And that Wednesday night, they came over there. We looked inside, and they were just praising God and saying, God prepared this for us. This is God's place for us. And so they were just, they were elated. And we were all praising God together that God gave us a place that was rent-free and that we could use. And we still use to this day. And we've had vacation Bible schools there. We've had Christmas outreach in there. And we've done all kinds of stuff for our community through that community center, that activity center. So it's just been a blessing to see how God has already given us a start, because the average size church in Taiwan is only about 30 people. And, you know, we had that in a month. And it was just like, whoa, this is not what we expected at all. And yet God has just moved there, and we've seen a great start. And so Ryan and Vicky are still there, and they're still leading the church there and doing a great job. But I ask that you pray for them. You'll see them later on the video during the main hour, and he talks at the end. But I just pray for them and their family as they leave, because they have their own jobs as well, and they're very busy, and they have a young family. And so I ask that you pray for them. So I just want to kind of fill you in on the details of what is currently happening in Taiwan and what God has done so far there, where we're at in this town of Tainan, or the city of Tainan. And just ask you pray for that new church plant as well. So anybody have any questions for my family, my sons? This is Davey on the end, by the way. He's 13 and almost 14. He'll be 14 on Saturday. And Josiah, he is 11, going to be 12 on the 29th. And my beautiful wife, isn't she beautiful? Isn't she beautiful? Yes. All right. Now, she's going to be turning 20, I think is what she told me. 29. Okay. She'll be turning 29 soon. I don't know. I'm not allowed to tell her age. Yeah. Anyway, so any questions you might have for any of us? We want to kind of use the next few minutes to just connect in a deeper way. Yes, ma'am. What year? As a family, we went there in 2006, April of 2006, we first went there. I went there in October 15th, 1990. It was the first time I went there, and I lived there with my parents for several years before I came back to the States for college and stuff. Yes, sir?
What has changed in ministry in Taiwan since when you went with your parents today?
What has changed? People are, the people culturally a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more open than they were before. I guess I could say that they're, It's good and bad. They're less religious than they were before. This newer generation is kind of seeing the weird ways of their family, their parents and their grandparents, all the weird stories that just doesn't add up and don't make sense. A lot of superstition. And, you know, they have superstition that if you point at the moon a certain time of year, your earlobes will split and just kind of weird things like that, you know. And they're just like, this is ridiculous, you know. And so it's kind of created a generation of agnostics. And that's can be good, but it can be bad also. And so it's good when they're still kind of searching and not so completely turned off from anything that has to do with God. And so that has changed quite a bit. There's not so much of the participation in some of the animistic work, worship, or the other things. So, yeah, that's probably a big difference. Is that just the new generation, like my age and younger? Yes, ma'am. It's yeah. We live in a democratic society. It's a first world country. We have our visas say missionaries on there. They give out missionary visas. And so, yeah, it's very open. We're free to go where we want to go, plant a church where we want to plant. We're not regulated at all by the government in that way. So it's very open. Yeah, we can give out tracts, talk about Jesus, all that without having any kind of fear of being arrested or give a hard time. Yes, sir?
Yeah, so along those lines, what is kind of the relationship with Taiwan and China then?
Yeah. The relationship between them is very kind of cold shoulder because they really don't have any control at all. I mean, they don't have any say at all. And we just had our presidential elections this last week. And, you know, they don't have... They do. They do say, well, they're just a rebel province, you know, that, you know, maybe one day if they... If we push more toward pro-independence, supposedly they'll probably try to come in, you know, militarily and try to overthrow the government and stuff like that. But they get no financial gain from Taiwan, nothing like that. So. Yeah, they had a civil war after the Japanese were pushed out. During the Pacific part of the World War II. They were pushed out of China, and that kind of left this, you know, because the imperial part of China was done and over, you know. And so we had the two sides, the communist side that was being supplied by Russia, and we had the more of the republic side, the democratic side, which was being supplied somewhat by the U.S., not very heavily, but they were, and so they had a civil war to see who would gain the power. And of course, the communists won, Mao Zedong won, and it pushed their group, the Republic, off of the mainland because they had to escape from them and into Taiwan. And that's kind of where the U.S. kind of stepped in at the time and said, you guys can't touch Taiwan, leave them alone, don't try to do anything. They were kind of in exile over there and things. And so that kind of became the two governments. And so for years, you know, from World War II all the way into Jimmy Carter's presidency, Taiwan was recognized as China, as free China, you may have heard it called, and they were red China or the communist China. And so it wasn't until Jimmy Carter came along and he saw, oh man, we'd have better financial gains if we went with red China, and they kind of pushed Taiwan to the side. So, for years until 1988, there was martial law in Taiwan. It was the longest time of martial law of any society in history, and they had martial law there for all of that time. And it was kind of a little bit of a almost a dictatorship, but not really heavy-handed. And it was in 1988 that they finally started having free elections and things like that, and became much more democratic as they are today. So, in fact, they just elected Tsai Ing-wen. Tsai Ing-wen is a female, for our first female president But she's a more of what would be considered here in the States a Democrat, you know. She's along that lines, like a Democrat. And so this is going to be interesting because the Democrats there are more pro-independent. So they want to kind of flaunt and push independence from China. And China does not like that. The president that's still in right now, he's the Republican style, you know. And they just had a meeting together. China's president and Taiwan's president met together this past week. It's the first time since the Civil War ended that the two presidents have ever come together. So, it was just kind of a little bit of, how do you say that in English, just kind of means. It was just for kind of a little bit of a show. I mean, nothing was accomplished. Nothing was signed or anything like that. It was just kind of like, we can do this, so let's do it, you know. And then nothing was really accomplished. But that's kind of where we sit right now, you know. And like I said, China has no say there. Yes, ma'am. The same bathrooms? Not really. No. We have holes in the floor. They're called squatty potties. Yeah. And in our video, I have a picture of one or three together without any dividers. So that's always very interesting. Those are the ones you look at and you turn around and leave as soon as you see it, you know. I'm just not that comfortable with people to you know, squat next to. So, but, you know, I will tell you this, though, that here in America, people are beginning to realize that squatting to go to the bathroom is actually much more healthy. It's true. It's very true. You can go like on Amazon and stuff and find these little stools that wrap around your Western toilets, and you stand on those and squat. And I don't know, it's supposed to be better for your colon and stuff like that if you do that. So, yeah. In your home, yeah.
In our home.
Yeah, in our home we have normal bathrooms. All right, Sherry wants to make sure everybody knows that. Yeah, but if you go outside, you know, public restrooms are normally squatty potty, so yeah, those are interesting. Yes, ma'am?
What did you think about the United States when you came back and you've been gone for that long? What difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. The difference, but you know, we call it reverse culture shock. When we come back to the States after being there so long, that's now home, especially for our kids. That's really all they know. Our youngest daughter, Kana, I mean, last time we were here, I don't know if you all remember, but she was just a tiny little baby. And so she's grown up in Taiwan. That's what is normal to her. So, you know, there are things that were just not, we just had to get used to again, reverse culture shock. Like when we first got back, driving down the road, super cautious, people behind me honking their horn because I was going, you know, the light was green. But in my mind, that's just a suggestion for everybody over there. You know, when the light turns red, it still is just a suggestion. And so, you know, I'm like inching my way out and making sure nobody's going to run the light. And then kind of, and so people behind me here in the States are just blowing their horn. What are you doing? You crazy, you know, and just stuff like that. My kids, we can't drink the water over there from the tap, you know. And so we were at an activity with our church up in Seattle, and kids were running around, and somebody grabbed the hose and turned it on and started drinking. And Josiah was like, what? What are you doing? You know, you're going to die if you drink that, you know. And like, no, it's okay for people to drink tap water here in the States. So just settle down. Everybody's going to be fine. But it's not good in Taiwan. Just little things like that that you have to get used to, you know, that we weren't accustomed to. You know, that's normal there. This is weird here. So that's always a little bit of a time where we have to readjust. Yes, sir. Oh, on the back of the prayer card, we're in front of a really famous statue in Taiwan. It's a kung fu statue, and we were just that day where we had our friend there, and we were just horsing around, playing and kind of acting like we were doing kung fu or something. We don't really do kung fu. We're just playing around. But I thought the picture was so cute, and you look at it, and people will be able to remember that. You know, those are those weird missionaries that do kung fu moves on the back of their prayer card. So, oh, is he talking about the white and black thing on the side? Is that what you're talking about, sir?
Picture.
Yeah, my picture. This thing right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little kung fu move. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we, yeah, that's what we're just playing around. So yes, sir. Baseball's the biggest. You know, they're ranked number 4 in the world in baseball. The Little League World Series, they have the most titles. They have 17 Little League World Series titles, more than anybody else in the world. And so that is a huge deal. Our boys were in baseball for a little while, but it's just so when they do baseball, it's like every day, practice every day, go every day, and it was too much, so we pulled them out of that. But basketball is also big too, and I do play basketball there every day. I go to the park every day. I'm in a basketball club or whatever, I don't know what you call it, association or something like that, and we've been able to meet a lot of people that way and just get to know people. A lot of what we do is very relational. We do give out tracts. Don't get me wrong, we give out tracts wherever we go and things like that, but we see people come to know Jesus Christ through the relationships we build with people, and that's what we mainly, and Sherry and I, our week is filled with either discipleship, one-on-one discipleship with new believers, or people who are unsaved. We are sharing, having like Bible study with them, answering their questions, sharing the gospel with them in a very slow way, because they don't know the words. The word for sinner is zuidren. Zuidren means criminal, and so in their language, they don't understand what you're trying to say when you say criminal. It doesn't make sense to them, you know. And so that takes a lot of explaining. The word for grace, they've never heard it like we say it in their language. They don't use that. And you say it, and they're like, what does that mean? And so all of these kinds of things that are very basic to us as believers, they've never heard. And so a lot of times, unless somebody's already planted a seed and it's been watered, which happens occasionally, that we're able to harvest a seed that's already been planted. But most of the time, we're like really toiling up the soil and planting the seed and things like that, and it takes a lot of time and it's very relational. Yes, yes, ma'am. What did I eat this morning? What do I eat in Taiwan? We eat lots of stuff, lots of good food. You'll see some pictures up of some of the crazy stuff we eat in Taiwan. One of the things that you'll see is chicken feet, the feet of the chicken. They just kind of gnaw on it, and there's not much meat there. But they just kind of gnaw on it, and the 1,000-year-old egg, which is a fermented egg, it's black when you eat it, and the actual white part of the egg, when it's done fermented like that, is turned like into a jelly, and so that's kind of interesting. But those are some of the weird things we eat. They like to eat stuff during weddings. Weddings is a huge deal over there. They have a massive celebration, and they'll eat like very, very, what they would consider, what is that word?
Rich.
Yeah, like, yeah, what's the?
Gourmet.
Yeah, gourmet? I can't think of the word. Anyway, they eat
delicacies,
that's the word. Like fried bees we've eaten, and just, I'm trying to think, just weird stuff, you know, weird stuff that you wouldn't normally eat, so. We do eat like a lot of rice, of course. They eat rice every meal. They eat rice every meal, white rice. And the morning meal is they water it down to like a porridge. It's bland, but it's watered down. And then they add a little bit of things to it to kind of give a little bit of flavor, like maybe like peanuts or pork fiber or something like that to kind of give it a little flavor. And that's what they eat in the morning. But then rice with some veggies and stuff during the other meal. So. They eat a lot of noodles, soup, tons of soup, and tons of fish because we live on an island. So they eat a lot of fish. Yes, sir? School. School is very interesting. The school, how would you like to go to school? How many of you are like fourth grade and up? If you're fourth grade and up, raise your hand. Fourth grade and higher. Okay. Most of you in here are fourth grade and higher. Good. All right, put your hands down. The average student, fourth grade and up, all the way through master's degree, will go to school from 7:30 in the morning to about 10 o'clock at night. How many of you would like to do that? Raise your hand. Oh, some of you would, until you did it, and then you wouldn't. Yeah. So they go to public, like the regular school, from 7:30 to 4. They get out of school, and They do their homework like at a 7-Eleven or something like that nearby, and they will then go to night school after that. And so from about 5:30 till 9 or 10, they'll go to night school, and then they'll go home, finish their homework, and go to bed and do it all over the next day. And then most of the students, if you're doing really well, if you're very smart and you're advancing in your classes, then you'll go also go to school on Saturday and enjoy that as well. So it's a different, yeah, that's if you're doing well. You're rewarded by going to school on Saturday. So a little bit different. Yes, sir. What's the name of our church? Our church doesn't really have a name yet. We haven't decided on that. So we were at a camp one time, and the people were so confused about it, they started calling it David Baptist Church, and I didn't like that at all. Not at all. I said, no, we're not going to do that. That would be a little bit sacrilegious. Yes. Yes, sir?
So do they celebrate any of the kind of Christian holidays, Easter, Christmas?
No, they'll do some kind of Christmassy things, but it's just in like the big stores. It's materialistic, you know, they're just trying to.
So you can't really use that as a.
You know, we've done it because like the schools will also kind of do a little bit of like Santa Claus and things like that. And so we've actually gone into schools and like the kids' school and another local school that we have some friends that are part they're head of like the PTA in the school, and they've got us into the schools to be able to do a gospel presentation about Christmas in the schools. And so we do a little bit of that, but it's not like, I mean, the kids don't get a day off or anything like that, so it's not celebrated like we would celebrate it here. Definitely not Easter. They have no idea what you're talking about, Easter.
Their students are really weird at Canis. The Santa they had a beer belly and it smelled like cigarettes.
Yeah. 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 Not too far off. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned being a basketball
team.
Do you have
Yeah, English. They want to learn English, and so we do that. Do a lot of English outreach. Now, this new church plant, we knew that we were going to be having to come back to the States to report, and so we hadn't started a lot of outreach in the church because, I mean, a missionary has to think, what can the church people handle if we died or something happened to us, we had to leave or something like that. That's why, you know, we didn't seem so important. We didn't put a lot of importance on finding a building and paying rent, and we were looking for something that we knew that this young body of believers could handle. And so part of that was, what kind of outreach can we do that if we leave or if we're gone or something, that they can still do and make it work. And so we kind of, you know, we're on along. Now, when we go back, we're going to start American football ministry, because my boys and I would go out to the park and play football, and crowds would gather around us like, what are you guys doing? And so we explain, you want to play? Yeah, we'll play. And so we're trying to teach them. You know, they ran the wrong way half the time or whatever, but, you know, we were just having fun trying to teach them how to throw it. And so it was just like, you know, we need to start something like this. And so we've already got quite a bit of equipment that we're taking back with us, and we're going to have like a football outreach on Saturday mornings, and we're still part of the basketball, we're going to do a lot of English outreach for different age groups that we'll start when we get back this time. So, and we found them effective in our first church plant in Taichung, so we're going to continue those. Yes, ma'am?
Stay at home moms, they feel a little bit more responsibility to be
Well, we had an outreach also to like little kids, and their moms were coming with the little kids, and our oldest son was his idea to kind of start that, and so he was doing that, and so my wife would also minister to the moms and the grandmas that would bring their little like 4 or 5 year old kids to his English outreach. So Sherry has a mother-in-law now that lives across the street from us that comes over to our house almost daily to tell Sherry what she's doing wrong and show her how to do it better and stuff like that. But she's a nice woman and somebody that we're just praying that will give their life to Jesus Christ. Okay, last question, all the way in the back. Chinglish. Yeah, if you don't know Chinese and English in our house, you'd be very confused. And so, you know, especially when our kids get right home from school where they've been speaking and learning in Chinese all day, when they first get home, they can't even form sentences in English. You know, they're maybe say one word English and then the rest Chinese or something to that line, along that line. So it's pretty fun that way, but we try to teach them English in the house, and they do pretty well. So, it's a part of growing up overseas. You know, that's a different. We're called third culture kids. We're not really American. We're not Taiwanese. We're kind of a mixture of both, and we don't fit in here, and we don't really fit completely in there. And we're just kind of our own little group, our own little culture. So. Our kids, you know, they're weird either way. So as you pray for them, because growing up that way, sometimes it can be a little bit of a challenge. So just pray for them. We're going to have a word of prayer, if that's okay. We're going to end our time here. Thank you guys for being here this morning and taking part in this time for us to connect, okay? God, we love you and we thank you so much for the time that we could spend together. I pray that you were glorified, and I pray that people here would know a little bit more about what we do and about how we live, and I pray that it would help them to be able to pray for us a little more deeply, a little bit more clearly, and I pray that you would just bless your people here and bless the service ahead. Father, may you guide us in what we say and do and think, and Lord, may you be glorified again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.